Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune. Which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
One briefcase, one moment could change everything. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving you a chance to own your destiny in 2026. Play throughout the month of January, and on January 28th, one Club Serrano member will win the case, and with it, a finale spot in any 2026 promotion, plus $400,000. Which destiny will you choose? It's all happening at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
You know, last week we talked all about the relationships being built inside Highmark Stadium, right? Yeah. One of the coolest things about our jobs is the relationships we build over the years with other media members. And we're going to welcome in today a guy named Hacker Ryan Green from 1010XL in Jacksonville. I got to know him the last several years just through doing some radio stuff. And I say he's got that really cool Southern accent, but cool radio voice too. So Hacker, welcome in, buddy.
Sal, appreciate you having me, man. What a fun week this will be.
So I'm sure you're thrilled you're not coming up to Orchard Park. You know, I'm looking at snow right now. I've heard we're going to get some nice weather this weekend.
Yeah, from my understanding, Matt, we're talking about mid to high 60s on Sunday, which will be great. And certainly if Jacksonville were coming up there, they'd have a lot to deal with. The fact that it is at home, although, and I'm actually down at the Jaguar facility right now, we're expecting probably 15 to 20,000 of the Bills Mafia here on Sunday. At least the Jaguars will have somewhat of a home field advantage.
Yeah, we know the way Bills Mafia travels. They always do. I remember the 2017 playoff game down there as well. Lots of Bills fans. But, you know, Jags fans get into it with their Duval chant, especially if they get rolling a little bit, which they have been. So let's dive right into it. And, of course, Hacker covers the Jacksonville Jaguars. He hosts a radio show on 1010XL in Jacksonville, the flagship for the Jaguars. All right, an 8-game winning streak, right? Maybe a lot of people didn't really see all of this coming. They would be better. Liam Cohen, smart offensive mind. Of course, Trevor Lawrence. But how have they done it like this? I mean, it seems like they're really putting up some numbers against some really good defense as well, Hacker.
Well, let me give you a little bit of background. I mean, everybody talks about the Houston fourth quarter collapse, what really turned the Jaguars season around. And while I agree with that, Sal, I'll go back 10 days prior to that. Travis Hunter, right behind me at the Miller Electric Center, gets hurt in practice. Non-contact injury, out for the year. 10 days later, they have the largest fourth quarter collapse in the history of the franchise, blowing a 19-point fourth quarter lead to Houston. I mean, both of those things happened in a week and a half time frame. And you got a first-year head coach, a first-year staff. I mean, this thing could have imploded quick at 5-4. And all they've done since is rattle off 8 in a row. They've beat teams by an average of 19 points in those eight games. Just a masterful job by Liam Cohen and this first-year staff to keep this team together, to keep it on the tracks, and to be 13-4 and win only their fifth division title in franchise history.
Why are they so good? Is it the offense? Is it the defense? Or is it truly both?
I think it's both, but I would say more so the offense, Matt, and it's more so Trevor Lawrence. This looks like the guy the Jaguars drafted number one in 2021. We know what Liam Cohen did with Baker Mayfield last year in Tampa. He's doing that with Trevor Lawrence here. Trevor Lawrence is a different quarterback. He's accounted for 38 all-purpose touchdowns. He's got, I believe, 19 touchdowns, only one interception over the last six or seven games. He looks outstanding, and a lot of it is just confidence. I mean, when you get drafted by Urban Meyer, when you have Doug Peterson, who I think it kind of checked out towards the end of last year, you have the injury problems Trevor had. I'm not making excuses. I mean, that's reality. That was his first 4 years in the league. You bring in Liam Cohen, and the first part of the year started off a bit shaky, a bit rough, but I think Trevor has just gained confidence through the season, and he is playing the best football of his career right now at 26 years of age.
Of course, on the defensive side, they've really put up some nice numbers and takeaways. They're getting after the football. They are the number one rush defense in the NFL, but they're going against the number one rush offense in the NFL. What's been the talk a little bit there in Jacksonville and the thought of, okay, like this is going to be a real test? Yes, they've done a great job, but this is a bit of a different animal with James Cook and company coming into Jacksonville.
Oh, there's no doubt. Now, the Jaguars have played very well against the run, as you mentioned, Sal. They've averaged giving up 85 yards a game. They have not allowed a 75-yard rusher the entire season. Look, they've played against Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Taylor twice and Kenneth Walker. I mean, they've played against some good running backs, and they've held them in check. This is a little bit of a different animal, though. Not only James Cook, who, as you mentioned, is the rushing champion, but Josh Allen. So they know the challenge ahead of them. And look, Superman's coming to town. That's all the talk down here, is that Josh Allen at any time can put that cape on and completely take over a game. The Jaguars know that. I mean, goodness gracious, the Jaguars went up there last year where you guys are sitting right now, and it was an embarrassment on Monday Night Football in Week 3. By the way, this is a full circle moment because I think the Doug Peterson era basically ended in Buffalo on Monday Night Football last year. Mm-hmm. They just kept him around for 13 additional games for some reason. But now they play the Bills again at 13-4 with what Liam Cohen has done. So it's interesting. It is Buffalo this week because the most embarrassed the Jaguars were last year was up there. And now they get a chance to maybe redeem that a little bit on Sunday afternoon.
So you mentioned Trevor Lawrence and the strides that he has made for that Jags offense. And another feels like, at least from the outside looking in, pivotal turning point for them was the addition of Jacoby Myers and just how good he has been. You know, we sit here and we're like, whoa, look at the Jags. Like, they're really on a heater. And it feels like you brought up the timeline, but it also feels like that almost perfectly coincides with when they traded for Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, honestly, Matt, if Travis Hunter doesn't get hurt, I don't know if Jacoby Myers is a Jaguar. Maybe he is. But maybe he isn't. And you want to talk about a team that knows when they have something right away? They've already given him a 3-year contract extension. He played 7 games, and they knew it right away. They've given him a 3-year extension. They've locked him in long-term. He's been dynamic. But the thing with Jacoby Myers, guys, it's not the stats. Like, he'll have 4 catches for 39 yards. He'll have 5 catches for 47 yards. And you're thinking, all right, well, that's okay. It's nothing great. But it's what it's allowed for Parker Washington and for Brenton Strange and for Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Etienne and just the leadership that Jacoby Myers has given this football team. It's not just about stats, although he's been good, but don't be surprised if he goes for 5 for 40 on Sunday. But it's the other things that he does in that offense, opening up the outside for guys like Parker Washington and Brian Thomas Jr. to flourish.
We're talking with Ryan Green, Hacker 1010XL down in Jacksonville. All right, a couple of injuries to note on both sides of the ball here. Now, we're talking here on Wednesday. We know I think a lot of people will be listening on Thursday. We'll see where it goes. But as of Wednesday, to start the week, no Cole Van Lathan for the Jaguars. Starting left tackle, I looked and saw he's listed as a backup at a depth chart, but he started like the last 10 games. And then, of course, Jerrion Jones as well, a guy that has been a primary backup nickel who started. But just kind of walk us through what those two injuries are right now and what they would mean for the Jaguars.
Yeah, the Jarian Jones one is interesting. I'm actually down at the Jaguar facility. I'm going to be heading into the locker room here in a little bit, and I'll get some more clarity on that, Sal. And when I do, I can, you know, shoot you a text, give you the latest information, because he finished the game last week. In fact, if you see the viral video of Trevor putting the grill in the locker room, that was Jarian Jones that gave the speech, that gave him the grill that went viral. So I don't know what that one's about necessarily. Cole Van Lannen is the starting left tackle. In fact, he just signed a 3-year extension last week. He got hurt towards the tail end on Sunday. It looked like he banged knees with one of the Titan linebackers. Walked off under his own power. Was in the post-game locker room, did media in the post-game locker room. So, again, I don't know what that means, but with Cole Van Lannen not practicing on Wednesday, the Jaguars did get some good news in that Patrick McCary was back out there on Wednesday. He's the free agent from Baltimore that they signed that has started, I believe, 13 games this year, has missed the last couple. So if Van Lannen can't go, my assumption would be you move Walker Little to left tackle, who was your starting left tackle for the first 2.5 months of the year, with McCary back in at right guard. But again, early in the week, we'll have to see how that plays out. But I would think the Van Lannen one is more for Buffalo fans to keep their eye on. Like I said, Jarian Jones finished the game last week, did not see him get injured, so I'll have to get some more clarity on that one in particular.
My apologies. I called him Van Laden, I believe, Van Lannen. Thank you for that. And then, hey, knows, it could be an illness. Matt Milano is out practice on Wednesday because of an illness. So you never know. And we'll get more from there. So I appreciate that.
Ryan, we will be spending the next several days here trying to figure out from the Bills standpoint how they should attack this Jags team. That's offensively and defensively. From the Jags standpoint, what are the perceived weaknesses with the Bills where they're like, okay, we feel like this is a matchup we could win, specifically on the Jags side of things?
I think if you're Jacksonville, you want to go after the Bills running rush defense. Ed Oliver being out, I know Jordan Phillips just got placed on IR, although I don't think he had played very much the last couple of weeks. But the Jaguars have not run the ball very well. And they've thrown it very well, but they have not run it very well. So I think if you're Liam Cohen, you want to get back to what you did in September and October, where the Jaguars were running the ball very well. Now, Etienne is still 1,000-yard back. It just hasn't been as productive in the last 6-7 games, really during this winning streak. They've gone a lot more through the air than on the ground. I think they realize they need to attack Buffalo more on the ground. That keeps the clock moving. That keeps Josh Allen off the field. But make no mistake about it, they got here with Trevor Lawrence's arm. They're not going to get too far away from that. I expect Trevor Lawrence to throw the ball a lot on Sunday. And as far as defensively goes, they know they need to stop James Cook. Whether that means bringing 8 in the box, you know, keeping a spy on Josh Allen in that running game, whatever they need to do, they know that if they stop Buffalo, statistically, Buffalo doesn't do as near as well win-loss-wise when Cook is held under 100 yards. So that's going to be a vital part of this Jaguar game plan on Sunday.
Well, I ask you this question, if you could. We're having a little problem with your audio. If you could just adjust your phone a little bit, maybe. I don't know if that's the issue or not. I'm not really sure. They're asking me to ask you that. But we heard what everything you said, just a little static there. All right, let me ask you this. The Jags on defense don't really get the passer down a lot. I'm looking at their sacks per pass attempt. They're 30th in the league. But holy cow, they have great numbers against the pass. And they get to the ball, right? They're aggressive. So what is it? Is it Anthony Campanelli? And I apologize, I think that's how you say his name. But is it like smoke and mirrors and him just moving guys around and causing confusion? Because they're not necessarily getting the sacks, but they're getting the production.
Yeah, they don't sack the quarterback as much, Sal, but they affect the quarterback a great deal. Joshua Hines-Allen has been good. He hasn't been great. Trayvon Walker, likewise, good, but not great. But what they don't do in sacks, they do affect the opposing quarterback. That's why they've got so many interceptions. They're causing fumbles as well. They're the second-best team in the NFL as far as takeaways. Like I said, the number one rush defense as well. But getting to Josh Allen is vital. Getting him on the ground is even more important. I can't tell you how many times this year the Jaguars got their hands on a quarterback, but he threw it away at the last minute. They do a good job at affecting the QB. They've just had a trouble getting that quarterback to the ground.
Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. We're looking forward to coming down there. I think this is going to be a phenomenal game. Like, I really do. I don't have a lean or something that I feel super confident about. I think both of these teams are very, very good, and it should be an awesome game.
And it may come down to special teams, where the Bills have a kicker injury right now, and Cam Little obviously is kicking bombs left and right down there in Jacksonville.
Well, I'm in the parking lot outside of Everbank Stadium stadium right now. I'm not sure if Cam Little couldn't kick it inside the stadium from where I'm at. I mean, 68-yarder, a 67-yarder. And don't forget, guys, he had a 70-yarder in the preseason. The guy is an absolute cheat code. He's a great dude, too, so it's fun to watch him succeed.
Thank you, Ryan. Have a great rest of your week. We'll see you down there.
Thanks, Hacker. Look forward to seeing you on Sunday, buddy.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate you.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Prime's exclusive wildcard playoff game is Saturday night. Jordan Love and the Packers take on Caleb Williams and the Bears. Not a Prime member? Sign up for a 30-day free trial to stream the game.
That's going to be caught for the touchdown.
NFC North rivals square off in the latest chapter of the NFL's oldest feud. The Packers and Bears in Prime's exclusive wildcard playoff game. Saturday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, only on Prime. Sign up for a 30-day free trial today. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcast.
That is Hacker Ryan Green from 1010XL. We apologize for the static that came in, but I think everybody got the gist. We could still hear him, what he was saying through the static, but really interesting, his perspective on things. And, you know, he said it right away, shut down James Cook, you know, and that's what you really want to do, concentrate on James Cook. But they've been able to do that, Matt. You look at some of the running backs they played. That's right. I mean, they play Jonathan Taylor twice. They play Christian McCaffrey this year. Nobody has had over 75 yards rushing against them.
Yeah, but the Bills can't change who they are either. It's what he talked about with Trevor Lawrence and the Jags not changing what their offense has been. The Bills can't shy away from trying to run the football. You know, there's been a lot of interesting stats that I have seen on social media the last couple of days, you know, specifically talking about this. Listen, last year in the playoffs, the Broncos had an exceptional run defense, and the Bills did not shy away from trying to run the ball. And I think they ended up putting 30 points against the Broncos. And, you know, we sometimes on this episode, on this show, talk about like what's the number you need to get to. In my head, that's what it is. It's like if you score 28 points, you should win this game. That's the number I feel like, and that's no easy task. I mean, they haven't given up more than 20 points since November 23rd against the Cardinals. They gave up 24 points, but you also look at the opponents. I am not overlooking the Jags at all. I think the Jags are very good. I think there's a reason they seem to be the trendy pick right now nationally. Like if you see all of the clips on the talk shows, on the radio, it's people picking the Jags, not just to win this game, but some people to go to the Super Bowl. I think they're a very good team. But I also think at times the experience the Bills have and the fact that they have Josh Allen makes a close game sometimes a little bit tougher for the other team.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. I put a poll up. We talked about this with Mitch Morris, and there's double the votes now, 4,700. It's still very close. I asked for Bills fans, what concerns you more, the Bills D against the Jags offense or the Bills offense against the Jags defense? And the Bills defense against the Jags offense, 53%, but it's almost 50-50. I mean, yeah. You could go either way on this for sure, because they both present problems and challenges for the Buffalo Bills, whether that's the Jaguars defense or the Jaguars offense. So obviously I know that special teams also is going to matter in this one. And honestly, Matt, it's going to sound really cliche. This game is just going to come down to who makes the fewest mistakes. Mm-hmm. And if the Bills can hold on to the ball and they don't turn the ball over, I really like their chances. But if they give extra possessions to a team that has a field goal kicker that can kick from 65 to 70 yards, that's going to be pretty tough to overcome.
Yeah, definitely. It is. The one other thing that I wanted to talk about was if Trevor Lawrence, this is a little galaxy brain, but follow me here. If Trevor Lawrence has ascended himself into the upper echelon of quarterbacks in the NFL, that doesn't necessarily concern me, because the Bills have actually done well this year against the good quarterbacks they've played, and they've struggled against the kind of mediocre quarterbacks. Think about the quarterbacks that they have beaten this year. And I know wins are not a quarterback stat. I'm not suggesting that. But this defense has done well against Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield when he was still playing well. They kind of got carved up by Joe Burrow until the end of the game, but still there. Drake May in the second half of that game. The teams that they have lost to have been the Davis Mills Texans and Tua before he got
Michael Penix.
And Michael Penix. So I think
they lost to Jalen Hurts, who completed zero passes in the second half, by the way, too. Yes, a really good quarterback, but he didn't hurt you in the pass game, but they still lost that game.
I think the Bills will be very focused on stopping the pass game and just living with ETN probably ripping off 5-6 yards a carry and just trying to situationally make stops. It is not a game where I think they are stacking the box to try and stop the run. I think it is a game where you are focused on stopping or trying to contain the passing offense and hope that you get a sack or two, a penalty or two, or a turnover or two.
I completely agree. I think that's got to be the approach. All right, that being said, it's going to be a little tougher without Max Harrison. So, again, later in the week, you're probably listening to this. We are recording on Wednesday, so we don't know the Thursday situation yet. But as the week starts out, we know and we are expecting Max Harrison not to be able to play in this game. Sean McDermott said he's unlikely to play. He didn't practice on Wednesday. The team has signed Dane Jackson from the practice squad to the 53-man roster. I think this is a smart move for the Bills. Obviously, you didn't want to make it because of Max Harrison, but because here's why. You only get two elevations. Now, everybody's elevations reset, so Dane was out of them anyway. It didn't matter. You could still elevate him if he's on the practice squad. And they're going to have to maybe use an elevation on a kicker this week, Matthew Wright. And if you have to use one on a kicker, then you only have one around the rest of the roster for somebody else who you might have to elevate. So they're probably going to have to do that. Here's the issue. I don't know what they're going to do about kicker. If Matt Prater, if he's kind of questionable to play and they think he can, but they're not sure, they might have to elevate Matthew Wright anyway. But then do you even put him on the active game day roster in case something happens to Matt Prater? Then you eat up a 48-man spot. I just think it's a lot of galaxy brain stuff you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's a lot to think about.
How about this? You figure out which kicker is going to be available, and then if they are not available, you don't kick, right? Like, I know that sounds ridiculous.
You gotta have kickoffs.
Yeah, but the punter did it last week, and he did a totally fine job. He did a serviceable job. I am totally okay with the Bills being, like, ultra-aggressive on a 4th and 5. And, you know, like, okay, 4th and 5 at the 30. Normally, you would just kick there, and you would take the points. Okay, you don't. And that's tricky. I know, that's risky, but that's the situation they're in. So, I mean, how confident do you feel with
they need a kicker?
How confident do you feel with a practice squad kicker anyway?
Well, Matthew Wright actually has some good numbers. He, you know, the thing that's hurt the Bills the last few weeks when they didn't have Prater was extra points. He's 45 of 47 on extra points. He kicked for Jacksonville in Jacksonville in the game that they beat the Bills 9-6. He had a 55 yarder. You need a kicker. I would also tell you this. If I'm a defense and know you don't have a kicker, I'm totally playing third downs differently before fourth down. So I know it sounds like, oh, just be aggressive. Uh-huh. You're tipping your hand already, though.
Yeah, you are, but that might be the reality of the situation. It's not like Matt Prater is an absolute unit. He's not a dominant force. He's just better than the other options they have had this year.
Go with Prater, maybe, and if something happens, you live with it. Maybe you do that, too.
Yes, that's kind of what I'm thinking. It's also the playoffs, so like if something happens, I don't want to say play through an injury and hurt yourself, but also that's what I am saying, I guess.
All right, so the other roster move the Bills made that people are a little bit, you know, I guess, up in arms about in some way, shape, or form, I guess, on social media, this is what happens. The Bills have opened the 21-day window for DeMar Hamlin. And I get it. How many people immediately have responded, oh my God, why would they do that? He's terrible in coverage. Folks, DeMar Hamlin's not being activated to play safety. It would be for special teams because they need, if you're not having Max Harrison who plays a little bit of special teams and you have to start moving around the roster and Dane Jackson, you need another guy to play special teams. That doesn't even mean he has to actually play on Sunday, but that's why you would have DeMar Hamlin. Oh, by the way, he's actually a good guy to have for special teams.
Yeah, for sure. That doesn't bother me at all. That makes a ton of sense, honestly. I think that it was kind of just a matter of when, not if, his window was getting reopened, but the fact that it's happening right now shows me that, hey, they think he can still provide some sort of special teams asset to this team that they have been lacking. So yeah, that's not a huge surprise. I would think it would take a lot of things going wrong for him to be back there starting at safety. I feel like we are very far away from that happening. And once again, everybody, if they lose Sunday, none of this ultimately matters.
That's right.
These are long-term things more so than, you know, hey, like I don't see any world where he is starting at safety against the Jags. And right now, that's the only thing you're thinking about.
And the only reason why he would play is if there's a couple injuries or they have things well in hand and you get to the fourth quarter, you could put DeMar Hamlin in if he's even playing. Okay, we also know Ed Oliver not coming back this week.
Yeah, not a shock because of the injury that he suffered while rehabbing and that he needed to have. I believe it was meniscus cleaned up a little bit. That was a few weeks ago. Sean McDermott, his tone with us when we spoke to him on Wednesday of this week was, I'm not sure yet, but he's trending in the right direction. It always felt like a long shot for the wild card. It feels like if they win, maybe his return window opens next week and we still don't see him unless they get to the AFC champion, which is, maybe I could be wrong. When they opened Max Hairston's window to return, he played a couple days later. So it's not like there's some hard, steadfast rule where it's a week after that. Just feels like it's certainly a long shot.
No Terrell Bernard at practice on Wednesday. No Milano at practice due to an illness. And then Shaq Thompson is limited. So right now, linebackers a little bit up in the air. You would expect Matt Milano to be fine and play. Obviously, you'd love to have Shaq Thompson available, but obviously as well, Terrell Bernard, you know, not practicing, not playing right now. You'd like to have all hands on deck if you possibly could. Remember, the Bills did elevate Keontae Jenkins last week. They also have Bill Inspector. That would be, again, another guy for mostly for special teams purposes. And then they brought back Shane Buechele. And I bring that up because going into this week, the Bills only had two quarterbacks. You need that third quarterback on the roster for scout team, and good for Shane Buechele. He got a couple of nice paychecks for the Kansas City Chiefs on the 53, and he comes back to Buffalo where he's very beloved in that room, by the way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's going to be their emergency quarterback, right? Like, and just in absolute, if something goes terribly, terribly, terribly wrong, you need somebody, but I don't think we're going to have to worry about that, knock on wood.
All right. Anything else we're forgetting here? Any other injuries or things? Ty Johnson was a guy that didn't practice as well because he rolled up his ankle last week a little bit. Josh Allen, full participant. Very, very noteworthy.
I would venture to guess Gabe Davis is the guy who gets the game on Sunday. You know, there's been a lot of uncertainty. I think the Bills kind of showed us their hand with the players they didn't have play in the Week 18 game against the Jets. Khalil Shakir, Brandon Cooks, and Tyrell Shavers, as yucky as that is to say, those are their top three wide receivers in their head. And then after that, I think they have to figure out two of the three between Josh Palmer, Gabe Davis, and Keon Coleman. I think there's a lot of factors here with Gabe Davis. First off, his nickname was Big Game Gabe because of what he did in the playoffs. Also, going back to Jacksonville, a team that cut him, I'm sure that is some added motivation. And I do think Josh just inherently trusts him more than those other guys. My guess is those two are Gabe Davis and Josh Palmer, and Keon doesn't play. That's my guess. I don't know for certain, but you know, that's another interesting layer to all of this.
Okay, we will keep you updated throughout the week. You're headed down maybe a day or so before I do, so you'll get there. Some nice weather to enjoy before the game on Sunday.
Yeah, I think Hacker's estimation is going to be off. He said they're expecting like 15 to 20,000.
You think it's more?
I think it's going to be more. Ooh. I do. I think this is, it's a trip to Florida in January. The Bills are in a playoff game. I feel like there is going to be a lot of representation. I mean, remember what Mitch Morse told us earlier in the week, that his neighbor was from the 716 and that there's a lot of Bills fan. It's just
all throughout the Southeast. If you're anywhere in the Southeast, you're driving to this game, basically, if you're a Bills fan.
That's why I'm thinking. I'm like, there are so many Buffalo transplants in places like Atlanta, Raleigh, Charlotte, Orlando, Tampa. All of those are very easy to get to. You know, Jacksonville is a very easy place from all of those hubs. So if it's something where you can get in the car and drive there, I think a lot of people will be doing that.
One other name we forgot to mention real quick, Jordan Poyer Limited. Very, very important if they can get him back.
Yes.
Now, the DeMar thing, I would not read into Jordan Poyer, but at least it would be another guy, depth safety. But I think Jordan Poyer is a very big part of what the Bills need this week.
I think Jordan Poyer is going to play.
Me too.
I think what happened with him coming back, I don't see a world where that guy's not out on the field if he can be.
Agreed with you. Hey, folks, if you haven't checked out our episode with Mitch Morris, it was awesome. We just did it earlier this week. Check it out. It's always game day in Buffalo, wherever you pod. Make sure you subscribe, Apple, iTunes, Spotify, and, of course, at Sell Sports on YouTube. All right. Enjoy the rest of the week. We'll be at you again sometime this week after the game on Sunday into next week. Hopefully, we're not doing locker cleanout on Monday, and we're talking about a Bills trip to the divisional round in the playoffs. Thanks a lot to our producer, Mike Rabier. Thanks a lot to Ryan Hacker Green from 1010 XL in Jacksonville.
Just got a new puppy or kitten. Congrats. But also, yikes. Between crates, beds, toys, treats, and those first few vet visits, you've probably already dropped a small fortune, which is where Lemonade Pet Insurance comes in. It helps cover vet costs so you can focus on what's best for your new pet. The coverage is customizable, sign up is quick and easy, and your claims are handled in as little as 3 seconds. Pro tip, Lemonade offers a package specifically for puppies and kittens. Get a quote at lemonade.com/pet. Your future self will thank you. Your pet won't. They don't know what insurance is.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.